Greetings and welcome to Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. This is a weekly podcast of Sunday homilies and theological reflections given by the staff of the Catholic community and their guests. Today's speaker is Father Nathan Castle, OP, pastor and director of the Catholic community. It is the Mass of the Easter Vigil, and the readings are from Cycle A.
It's impressive, isn't it, to hear that history that we belong to and that belongs to us. And that was condensed. I think you might be aware that the Easter Vigil in its original form lasted all night long. Not just the 2 hours and 45 minutes we might be together. They would start as the sun went down and all through the night proclaim the scriptures and sing songs. And then when the sun rose in the east and the light was truly overcoming the darkness without benefit of electrical light, then it was time for the baptisms to occur, where the light would move into those hearts that were receptive to it. We try to give a sense of that in what already feels for us like a long service. But we take that history and try to own the kind of the whole flow of it. We see God's activity moving through time and space. Through the Old Testament service readings, and then the epistle from St. Paul that I'm going to quote from here in a second. And then the gospel stories, which on Easter are so terse, for being so pivotal in the history of the beginnings of our faith. They're so short, there's so little to them, because they actually feature emptiness as a critical component, the emptiness of the tomb. I called to mind for you as we were starting out on the quad that when we proceed in here, we're doing more than walking into a building. When we come into this darkened space, darkened on Holy Saturday by our calling to mind the death of the Lord, we move into a tomb. And I asked you to try to be cognizant of any place in your body, mind, or spirit that you think of as deeply dormant, in a deadly sleep. Perhaps experiences that have been a part of your own personal history that have just needed to be sealed off from the rest of you so that you can go about your life. Perhaps unresolved things and bits of relationship and grief and other things that might belong in a tomb. And into that empty space in you, or that full space that you might prefer were empty, the light of Christ might come. I call that to mind because we were in this flow of history. And wouldn't it be a shame if we thought that the flow of God's activity in the world was pretty much contained within the pages of a book, even a sacred one? We move into the gospel story. I think my job tonight is pretty much the job given to Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, simply to get you ready for the next thing that the Lord would like to do, because the locus is going to shift from the empty tomb to the hearts. Can you call them believers yet? They're people on the cusp of belief. They've at least tried to befriend the Lord somehow. They've tried to bring their life and his together. But then they've gone through this awful rupture of his arrest, his torture, his death. And now these women are coming and asking them to have brand new hope, and they're over the top excited and happy and talking out of their heads. St. Paul just told us just a moment ago We know that our old self was crucified with him, that we might be no longer enslaved to sin. For whoever has died is free from sin. But if we've died in Christ, we also know that we'll live in him. Consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. That might be sin that you've committed through acting or failing to act. It might be things done to you. St. Paul just says, why not just be dead to it once for all so that new life might enter into you? Be dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Those of you that are about to receive the Easter sacraments, just on Tuesday, remember the little exercise that we did together on the gifts of the Holy Spirit? Yeah. It was only on Tuesday. I'm going to do a little refresher for you folk because they're about to receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit either through baptism in the case of five and in the case of all 11, the sacrament of confirmation. But before that can happen, we profess our faith, we say, yes, we believe, and we do it with everyone present. And in a moment, it might look like when these 11 and their sponsors fill the sanctuary, it might look like you're at the theater and that the rest of you are an audience watching somebody else do something. That'd be dead wrong. Because the Holy Spirit isn't just up the steps and under the dome. The Spirit's all over this place. So the next locus, the next locale, the next place that the story of God's grace is to act is inside of you. That's why the women were told, go get them ready. The Lord's about to do something and he's about to meet them. Go get them ready. That to me is my job tonight. So are you ready to try to be open more to a gift that God might want to give you? Say, yes, Father. Yes, Father. That wonderful. Now back up those words, would you? There are seven particular gifts, and I'm just going to run through them, and like I did with you guys the other night. It's a little refresher. The Lord is as possible to explain as the person you love the most. Quick, seven bullet points. Describe the person you love the most. Well, good luck with that. But our tradition has seven kind of bullet points that are ancient attempts to describe the love that God has for us and how we might invite it more deeply inside of us. Gifts that the Lord might like to give us that are also part of the Lord. First one is the gift of wisdom. Listen to this. See if you'd like this. What I'm going to do is describe each of the seven very briefly, and then I'm going to invite everybody in this room to stand three times. Not going to give you all seven. The Spirit will do that, but I'm going to try to get you to focus on only three of them so that three of them go deep. Okay? The gift of wisdom is higher than anything that you could ever learn by studying. So put your books away. The gift of wisdom is higher than that. It's not at all about your IQ, but it's sometimes called the first and the highest of the gifts because it makes a soul responsive to the Holy Spirit. You know what it's like to be unresponsive or for someone to be unresponsive to your love or your attempts to communicate? The gift of wisdom just makes you like Velcro. You're ready to always receive and hang on to the Holy Spirit. It's great for contemplation. It's ready to go deep. It wants to see things the way that God sees them. It helps you to know and love God by joining your own mind to God. What if your mind and God's mind could just overlap? That would be the gift of wisdom. Would you like that one? Hold that thought, because I'm going to ask you in a little bit to stand three times for the three that you'd like the most, and I'm going to review them. But for the moment, that was wisdom. The next one is understanding. It's a supernatural enlightenment given to the mind for grasping revealed truth simply and profoundly. Wouldn't you just like to get it? Has there ever been a moment in your life where you were trying to apprehend, understand something, and you just got it, maybe ahead of everybody else, and you couldn't even explain why? I just get it. I have a friend who raised six children, and her fifth one was with her on a hot Saturday in an unair-conditioned church. And the priest was going on and on about the true presence of Christ in the Eucharist, you know? He's really, really there. This is really Jesus. He's really there. Do you understand? rhetorically. Do you understand? Rhetorically. Do you understand? The four-year-old stands on the pew and says, wait for it, I understand. And she could have been appalled because her child just shouted in church, but she'd been down this before, and she looked at her child with, I think, a gift of understanding and saw a four-year-old in a religious experience. And she whispered to him and said, explain, what did Father just say? And then after the Mass, she took the priest aside and said, I want you to talk to my son, because she was a catechist. She said, I think he's ready for First Communion at 4 years old. And so he got down, the priest got down on the little boy's level and said, would you tell me what happens at Mass? What happens when we take up the bread and we ask the whole? Jesus comes in it. And then we open our mouth and he comes in us. And then he lives in us. I understand. And so that day he made his first communion in the sacristy after Mass. There wasn't any need to wait any longer because he understood. It was a gift, like that light bulb that goes on in cartoons. Would you like that gift? That's understanding. Wisdom, understanding, knowledge. Knowledge is a graced capacity to grow from everything you ever go through. Wouldn't you like it if by the end of the day tonight you learned everything this day could teach you? The opposite of the gift of knowledge is making the same mistake over and over and over again. You ever do that? How many times do you have to beat your head against that wall before you learn? The gift of knowledge is simply the grace to capacity, God helping you to learn from everything that you could ever experience. Sometimes the science of the saints. One of the things that can help you do is see the hollowness of the sin that you're about to commit before you commit it. You know how sins can look so tantalizing right at that moment of choice? Except oftentimes they're stupid and hollow and shallow and hurtful. What if right at that moment you had the gift of knowledge that would kick in and you go, oh, nope, no, I'm passing. I can see through this because I know better. I have the gift of knowledge. Would you like that one? Wisdom, understanding, knowledge. How about the gift of counsel? This one's usually about choices, one's own choices. It has to do with prudent conduct, about harmony, right order, and prioritizing. You know very well that life isn't just black and white. There's all these shades of gray and shades of every other color of the rainbow. And we have to make all kind of difficult choices, and we don't have any kind of a manual. But the gift of counsel helps us in the doing of that. It's God assisting us. It's the gift of knowledge. It starts with the gift of knowledge and experience. Understanding's kind of in there too, but then counsel comes in and it can help you make specific decisions. Yeah, I get it. There's this principle and that idea and this value, but I have to make this decision and need to make it by Friday. The gift of counsel kicks in and helps you make decisions. You might have the gift of counsel already if you're that person that people around you always seek out. In the residence halls here, there's always somebody whose door is open because they have the gift of counsel. Other people just want to run ideas past them. The gift of counsel is particularly important if you're an employer or a parent. If other people are dependent upon decisions that you make, and it's not just about you, but if other people are going to be affected by the decisions you make, you might want the gift of counsel. The fifth one is the gift of piety. Sometimes it's called reverence. I love this one. It perfects the true virtue of religion. Religion is from the word rely. I want us to rely on one another. Not just go our separate ways and try to be spiritual but not religious. Spiritual but having no one to rely upon. The gift of reverence sees God as a loving, dependable partner. Like a parent in the name of the Father. Or a spouse. A beloved friend. The gift of piety creates an orderly respect and appreciation for everything having to do with God and godly things. If you have that habit I hear about in confession so much of having a dirty mouth where God's concerned, this gift might help. If you have the gift of reverence and awe, and reverence and piety, using God's name in vain just doesn't factor in at all. The gift of reverence is sort of ecological. You know how the ecosystem all works together? We breathe out what the plants need, and they're breathing, they're throwing off what we need. The gift of reverence is like that. It helps us to see everything around us belonging and having a deep purpose. That's a gift of reverence. The sixth of the seven is the gift of courage. It's a natural gift to do for God what's beyond human power. It's one of the most important of all the virtues because it makes all the other ones more durable at the time that they could collapse. The gift of courage, any other virtue that you might have, at the testing point, you might cave in. But if you have the gift of courage, it fortifies all the other gifts. C.S. Lewis talked about Pontius Pilate and said that Pontius Pilate had two virtues, at least. He was merciful and just. Can you imagine it? Why is Pontius Pilate merciful? First of all, why is he just? Because he says, this man hasn't done anything wrong. Why is he here? He could see he has some justice. He sees that there's a crowd with a bloodlust that seems to want this guy dead. And instead he says, well, what if I just beat him up a little bit? That's what he did. He had him beaten up and then kind of paraded around, hoping that the bloodlust would be satisfied. He was both just and a little bit merciful. But then when the crowd starts hollering, we're going to have your job, we'll tell Caesar. Well, then he washes his hands of all of it. He didn't have the courage to back up those other virtues. The gift of courage, it could do us all well. The final one is the gift of awe. Awesome. Profound sense of the goodness that's all around us. It confirms hope. Because it's much easier to be hopeful in a world that keeps just surprising you with its wonder. You're not so downtrodden when you look around and you see things in terms of awe. One of the things that the gift of awe does is deepen your relationships, including your relationship with God. Because you don't take the people around you for granted when you see them through the eyes of awe, of what an awesome gift they are. You then don't even want to do anything that could harm them, because why would you want to harm somebody so awesome? It sees the scope of the all good. It creates union where there might just be separateness. The gift of awe. All right? So it's time to play now. The Holy Spirit is inside you. Sit still for just a second. I'll be still. I want the Holy Spirit to speak inside of you, and I want you to listen. Of those seven, which three appeal to you the most? I'm going to ask you to stand three times as I name the seven. Ready? So I'm going to name them in order: wisdom, understanding, knowledge, counsel, piety, courage, and awe. So you get to stand three times. So don't use them all on the first three if you want one of the ones that comes up later, okay? Right? Right? Ready? If you, of that list of seven things, how many of you or which of you would like the gift of wisdom? If you'd like the gift of wisdom, stand right now. Okay? Here's what I want you to do. Put your hands up like you're receiving a gift. Close your eyes. Still yourself. And say, Holy Spirit, look at me. I want the gift of wisdom. Would you like to use one of your three on the gift of understanding, like that little kid that just got it? You just don't know why and you couldn't explain why. If you'd like the gift of understanding, please stand. Okay. The gift of knowledge, that ability to grow and learn from everything you ever experience so that you never have to make the same mistake twice. The gift of knowledge. If that you'd like to use one of your three times on the gift of knowledge, stand and put your hands out to receive it. Deep breath. Second one. Again. Lord, we'd like to receive the gift of knowledge. The gift of counsel is about one's choices, prudent conduct, harmony, right ordering, prioritizing, and especially making decisions that not only affect you, but affect employees or people around you or your kids. If you'd like the gift of counsel that helps you decide things well, please stand. Hands out, heart open. Repeat with me, Lord, I'd like the gift of counsel. The gift of courage, that gift that's joined to all the other gifts that God gives us, but makes all the other virtues lovelier and more enduring, especially under trial. I've never seen it fail. It's the winner and still champion. And Xavier, I think you would say in the confessional, its opposite is what we hear the most. Fear. And all the things that fear leads us to. Open your heart wide to the gift of courage. Hands out to receive it. Repeat with me, Lord, we'd like the gift of courage. Breathe it in. And finally, the gift of awe. A gift from God that helps us see the awesomeness, the profound goodness of everything around us. It confirms us in hope when we begin to look at the world darkly. It helps us to see the awesomeness of all those around us so that we never want to harm them. Hands out to receive. Breathe in. Repeat with me. Lord, please give us the gift of awe. Now, in just a moment, when these 11 come up to receive these sacramental gifts, I'm sorry? Oh, piety? I did. Thank you. Because you were waiting on it, huh? It got caught in my little cards here. Thanks for speaking up. I hate it when after Mass somebody says, you forgot piety. It's like, your microphone was turned off through the whole service. Well, why don't you tell me? The gift of piety or reverence. It perfects the virtue of religion, relying upon those around us and being one upon whom others can rely. Creates an orderly respect and appreciation, a familial, lovely bond between us. The gift of piety or reverence. Would you stand if you want that gift? Lord, please pour out this gift on all those who desire it. Breathe it in. Now, where was I? I was to the point where it's time now to ask those who are about to be baptized and those who are to be received through confirmation Eucharist to come forward.
This has been a presentation of Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. Director, Gary Glover, with music by Albert Tommaso and Shane Clarkson. For more information, please visit our website at catholic.stanford.edu or visit our offices on the third floor of Old Union. Till next time, God bless you.